Black Helicopters at Dawn by Wizzy. Summary. Screw the bet. Rodney was going to prove the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence. Oh, and incidentally, he might just catch the United States Air Force with their pants around their ankles. It was the sort of amicable summer day that enticed normal people to mow their lawns, or wash their cars, or tend their gardens, or shave their cats. Wait, not the last one. Rodney had shaved his cat once, so he reasoned it wasn't an activity condoned by normal people. Neither, likely, was hosing down a 15-meter satellite dish. Bonus points for weirdness, because the satellite dish was mounted on top of the roof of the squat, cylinder-block building Rodney generously referred to as his house. There was always something to clean off the dish. In the warmer months, it was green crud. In the winter, when the weather was northern British Columbia, it was immiscible to all living things. It was snow. Rodney preferred snow. It had taken him all of 30 seconds to deduce that tilting the dish far enough vertical allowed gravity to solve the problems for him. Then it had taken him just under 2 weeks and 6 dish recalibrations to determine that his roof was beginning to buckle. 2 weeks of data had to be discarded while shoveling a mountain of snow off the roof. Rodney had considered contacting the architect responsible for such an engineering travesty, and teaching them a thing or two about structural integrity. But he concluded that he would have been inside enjoying a warm cup of cocoa if the architect had been capable of grasping basic physics and shoveled faster. Besides, given the age of the building, the idiot was probably either retired or dead. Requisite shoveling sessions included. Snow was still better than summer greenery. The inaugural cleaning fiasco had involved ladders, scrub brushes on long handles, and buckets of disinfectant, and far, far too much of his precious time, not to mention an agonizing soreness in his arms that had persisted for days. Months of practice and a pressure washer had streamlined the process considerably, but made it no more enjoyable. There were insects and deadly UV rays to contend with on the good days, when the weather cooperated. He finished the final rinse, shutting off the compressor, and stepped back to inspect his work. Not a speck of green anywhere on the smooth eggshell surface. Satisfied, he stowed his equipment and slithered down the ladder to head inside. Just under 2 hours. Not his best time, but close. If he hurried, he could have the dish repositioned and calibrated and back in business in another hour. The rest of his weekly maintenance should be completed by then. System checks and reboots, disk scans, the works. Everything was by the book, obsessively documented and exhaustively reviewed. Rodney wasn't taking any chances. When he broke the alien conspiracy wide open, his evidence had to be irrefutable. If Rodney was going to quibble schematics, he always did, given the choice. The dish wasn't a satellite dish any longer. Just as his house hadn't been an operational cable TV headend for years. But Rodney detested explaining things to stupid people, and while few could grasp the attraction of living beneath the world's most sophisticated amateur radio telescope, everyone assumed that a geek with a 15-meter satellite dish had access to every porn channel on the planet. He knew which explanation earned him more admiration and envy. Plus, the big dish pickup line, while never exactly effective, never lost its entertainment value either. Considering he'd bought the place for the dish and the convenience of being wired into what passed locally for an industrial power grid, Rodney hadn't fared too badly on the domestic side of the equation. So, what if the exterior was homey? He didn't have neighbors to complain about the peeling paint. And the fact that his front yard was a weed-dotted asphalt parking lot meant he didn't own a lawnmower. Hell, it was even considered chic by some bizarre standard to live in converted commercial space. Not that Rodney had done a lot of converting. The bathroom had already had a tiny shower, and the big room, barely worth being called a kitchenette, was a perfect match for Rodney's culinary skills. His bedroom was an old office, what it lacked in closet space made up for in quaint middle management charm, complete with safety glass, half windows, overlooking the control room. He considered putting up blinds for privacy, but a shortage of windows in general made him appreciate views, even the internal variety. And it wasn't like he gave a damn if the cat watched him change clothes. Best of all was the control room, which doubled duty as his center of operations and living room. Hunkered between the couch and the server racks was the old cable control console. If Rodney had ever felt true, honest-to-God affection for a piece of hardware, he felt it for that console. With its dozens of buttons and switches and sliders and fiddly knobs, as an expression of his love, he'd rigged it to control not only the dish, but his entertainment system as well. Abandoning his sodden shoes by the front door, he really should buy something waterproof one of these days. Rodney threaded his way to the console to check the progress of his maintenance routine. Not finished yet, but they should be by the time he finished, taking a nice, hot... wait. Something was out of place. Something in the room, amid the homey hum of equipment fans and the ozone scent of warm electronics, did not belong. It would come to him. His intuition would pinpoint it, if only that blasted beeping would go away and let him concentrate. The beeping. Of course. Of course. No wonder he hadn't recognized it. He hadn't heard it in so damn long. It was the alarm for his monitoring program, triggered when the dish picked up a signal. Practice fingers move over the console, quieting the alarm and displaying the logs. There, an activity spike. A big one. No, more like huge. He pulled the graph back, expanded the y-axis. Oh, God. It repeated at regular intervals. And he'd almost missed it because he'd been hosing down the stupid dish. Adrenaline flooded Rodney's blood system as he tagged the spike segments on the log and prepared to dig the audio out of the archives. It was potentially the most promising signal he'd ever recorded. When he convinced Zelenka it was genuine, it was going to win him the bet and a very fine bottle of liquor. But he didn't want to hear any excuses this time. Radek was going to make good, even if he had to smuggle the goods through customs personally. Furthermore, Rodney didn't want to hear the gory details about how that was accomplished. Stop, 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 stop. Screw the bet. Rodney was going to prove the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence. Oh, and coincidentally, he might just catch the United States Air Force with their pants around their ankles. Area 51. Roswell. Little gray men. Reverse-engineered alien technology being fed into the mainstream economy. The transistors, black helicopters, faster-than-light travel, teleportation, all of it. The entire world had a right to know the truth. They were going to have to create a Nobel Prize for exposing government conspiracies at the highest level, because the single prize for physics wasn't nearly reward enough for this kind of achievement. And he liked that apology from the Air Force in writing, thanks. Audio from the first spike was quayed. His finger hovered over the button, not depressing, not yet. This was history in the making. The moment should be savored, analyzed, and filed away to reference in the future prize acceptance speeches. Or he could always let his impatience take over. He dropped the button and held his breath. When the sweet, sweet sound of scientific breakthrough failed to materialize, He jumped to the beginning of the recording and listened again. Then, a third time, annoyance was now vying with bewilderment, because what he thought he was hearing just wasn't possible. It should have been a blip, a spot of static, a crackle in the background noise of nothingness. It most certainly should not have been a voice, an unmistakably human voice speaking English. So much for extraterrestrial, and he wasn't holding out hope for intelligence either. Rodney suddenly clutched at his head. Oh, damn it! Dish cleaning day. It was dish cleaning day. How could he have forgotten that he had taken the dish out of alignment? It had been pointing down, not at the sky. And he was the world's biggest moron for getting excited over picking up some yokel's amateur radio experiment. The yokel in question was still droning on audio loop. This is Shepherd calling the mountain. I repeat, Shepherd to mountain. Please respond. I've got a bit of a situation here. Forget fixing the dish or finishing the maintenance routine. Disappointment sapped him of the energy to do more than swat at the button that powered down the speakers before he retreated to the solace of a nice scalding shower. It was a curious path that led Rodney McKay, Ph.D., twice over, to become the proud owner and operator of the most advanced amateur radio telescope on the planet. His premature retirement party had been interesting, to say the least, when he informed his co-workers that he was quitting his cushy job in research and development to eavesdrop on aliens. They all assumed he'd been seduced by the competition and was too cowardly to admit it. Like his 4-year-old niece couldn't concoct a better lie. As a result, he'd been forced to sign the non-competition agreement from hell, with his retirement fund forfeit in the event of breach of contract. Not a problem there. Extraterrestrial radio signals didn't have a lot to do with the telecom industry. Oh, except for the fact that 8% of the technology in the average mobile phone had been reverse-engineered from alien prototypes. When they realized he was serious, his co-workers had started an office betting pool over when Rodney was going to give up the nutty recluse gig and return to sanity. Right after, they'd all applied for his job. A former colleague, Simmons or Simon or something, still emailed him gossip and the latest odds. At least, Rodney had the freedom to let people know what he did for a hobby/career. Poor Zelenka was still in the SETI closet, but Zelenka was tenured at a respectable university and couldn't afford a reputation tarnished by pseudoscience, whereas Rodney had been considered something of a crackpot even prior to his early midlife crisis. Their words, not his. Besides, he didn't mind if the whole world thought he was unbalanced. It would be just one more reason to gloat when he proved them all wrong. It was Zelenka who lured him into the whole search for extraterrestrial intelligence thing. They had been roommates back in grad school and friends ever since, even if they had a funny way of expressing it. Mostly, they squabbled. The topics of their disputes ranged from the hard sciences to the various merits and flaws of the yearly batch of Eurovision contestants. The argument for extraterrestrial contact had been so ludicrous that Rodney hadn't believed he'd been hearing it from someone whose intelligence had, on numerous prior occasions, been strongly substantiated. "What the hell is wrong with your brain?" he shouted. Oh, the joys of VOIP meant he could shout rather than type in caps, which wasn't nearly as satisfying. Radek had grumbled something in Czech, the tone of which suggested that he thought Rodney's finesse with insults was slipping, and said, I don't care if you think it sounds crazy. What about Drake and Fermi? Statistically, it makes sense. Yeah, well, 100% of Canadian geniuses polled think you've been hitting the vodka too hard, Rodney had sniped. How do you like those statistics? And Drake's equation is full of outdated assumptions. So correct it! Do the math yourself, Rodney! Rodney did the math, because he was stubborn. And because that bastard Zelenka knew he couldn't resist a chance to demonstrate just how much smarter he was than someone else. The results had proved intriguing. Digging deeper had made him feel squeamish. The sheer press of crazy had played hell on his claustrophobia, but at the same time he'd been unable to ignore the tantalizing hints of plausibility leading like a breadcrumb trail to the crevices of the internet he hadn't even known existed. He'd spent more time trolling sci.astro.seti than sci.astro.research. In dark, sticky IRC channels, he'd courted the conspiracy theorists and UFO chasers, gaining their wary acceptance as they slowly revealed the injustices being perpetrated at the highest level of the government. In his own begrudging way, Rodney came to believe. A little. In the true spirit of being scientifically open-minded. Then, that whole misunderstanding with the Air Force provided Rodney the incentive, and oddly the means, to hunt aliens full-time. Rodney's shower was a failure in the sense it had only made him clean. Relaxation didn't happen. Instead, he barely felt the hot water sheeting down his back as he focused on just how uncompromisingly gullible he'd been. All giddy over nothing. Worse than nothing. The worst kind of nothing. In a fit of petulance, he decided the remedy was to avoid all reminders of the incident for the rest of the day. It became a game to discover new routes to every corner of the house that didn't involve setting foot in the control room. He won when he reached the kitchen by exiting the front door, circling the building, and climbing in the window. Night arrived, because he noticed the cat spent 5 solid minutes weaving the infinity symbol around his legs. The gesture was oddly placating, even though he knew a demand for food when he saw one. Rodney even managed to sleep, even though he woke the next day with the uneasy feeling his dreams had been bad, despite not being able to remember them. Breakfast helped. So did coffee. By the time he was drumming his fingers on a second mug, he was feeling settled enough to contemplate the mystery signal with curiosity rather than dismay. Out of habit, he dissected the quandary, poked at its individual parts, starting with the voice. It was male, probably. The sound quality could have been better, but he hadn't expected to record speech. If he had to describe the speaker in a word, he'd say it sounded like a yokel, probably a religious wacko with a handle like shepherd. Either that or he had a thing for sheep. Sheep and mountains. Hell, he'd come to the right place, nothing but mountains for hundreds of kilometers in every direction. Well, except west. West was mountains, Alaska, more mountains, and, for a little variety, the Pacific. There were so many mountains. So many of them didn't have names. Rodney shoved his chair away from the table and stood. This was stupid. Useless. There was absolutely nothing of value to glean from the signals. And the sooner he scrapped yesterday's data and reinitialized the systems, the sooner he could return to the very serious business of catching the United States Air Force enjoying appropriate relations with little gray men. He ambled to the control room to find that irritating beep was back. His monitoring program was going crazy, at least as annoying as the cat when he missed a feeding. And that was because it had detected more than 30 new signals. There were a dozen reasons why he shouldn't pull up the logs and read the timestamps. Good reasons, grounded in common sense and sanity. His curiosity, purely scientific of course, overrode them all. 0200 hours, 300, 400, the hell? Didn't this guy ever sleep? Some spikes, Rodney noticed, were more like tattoos, indicating that more than a handful of words had been transmitted. Shepard had been downright chatty at 3 a.m. Maybe he was an insomniac, and Shepard was a reference to counting sheep. There are drugs for that, Rodney informed the consul as he set his coffee down on the USB cup warmer and started to verify the completion of the automated maintenance tasks. Honestly, you should seek professional help, or at the very least, a shortwave license. Who knows, you might hook up with some other lonely bastard willing to listen to you whine all night long. It could be mutually satisfying, like, oh, I don't know, an actual conversation, which you are never going to get broadcasting in this frequency. I'm probably the only person who noticed your puny little signal, and let me tell you what a fluke it was that... Stop. Stop right there. 3 hertz? Rodney's index finger rubbed at his monitor. There were some zeros missing right about there. Okay, so his frequency reading was off. Maybe there was a programming error. Maybe he'd forgotten to carry a decimal point. And all this time, he'd been so used to it being wrong that his brain had automatically compensated without his realizing. That was it. Rodney McKay had made a mistake. A stupid, careless mistake. The kind that went into textbook exemplifying how lazy programming killed projects and cost millions and lost lives. And he was okay with that because the alternative was... Fuck. Back in the kitchen, Rodney wore a groove in the linoleum while waiting for a fresh pot of coffee to brew. He was going to need caffeine in sickening quantity. Extreme low frequencies. What could he remember about extremely low frequencies? Once upon a time, they'd been used to communicate with submarines. Ha! A submarine. It was a signal from a passing sub. There was water out there, to the west. That was the direction the dish was pointed, more or less. Except, the power requirements to transmit were astronomical, and the antenna configuration, well, the antenna would need to be much larger than the submarine itself. That was why the broadcast stations had all been land-based. Subs had only ever had the ability to receive signals, not send them. Besides, the technology was 30 years obsolete. There had never been more than a few broadcast facilities in North America, and they had been dismantled in the advent of cheaper, more efficient forms of communication. So back to square one, because only Scooby-Doo would accept the Phantom Submarine explanation. Oh, it sure as hell wasn't some yokel's amateur radio experiment. What time was it in Prague? Oh, right, he'd be in the middle of teaching his afternoon class. That was unfortunate, because Rodney really could have used an intervening voice of sanity to remind him that Canada had an extradition treaty with the United States, because his curiosity had the gravitational pull of a black hole. Damn it. Helpless, he returned to the control room, turned the speakers back on, and pulled up a comfortable chair and settled in to listen. This is Shepherd calling Mountain. I repeat, Shepherd to Mountain. Please respond. I've got a bit of a... situation here. He let it repeat, sifting through nuances. The voice sounded unconcerned, but there was an inflection on the word situation that Rodney found particularly alluring. The second and third and fourth signals, all received within the first hour, had been variations of the same message. Then, exactly 1 hour later, Mountain, this is Shepard. Authentication code Bravo Delta Charlie Alpha Niner. I'm officially rescinding the order of radio silence. Please respond. Military. Damn it. Rodney had suspected, given Shepard's punctuality, but confirmation meant he could no longer lie to himself. Pretend the messages were innocuous. Nor could he plead ignorance when the black helicopters came in the middle of the night to scoop him up for questioning after he... That was if... See, now this. This was the cue for his sense of self-preservation to kick in, to make him turn off the recording and wipe every trace of the mysterious Shepard from his hard drives. Useless sense of self-preservation. Always slacking off when he needed it most. The next message repeated the order to break radio silence. Rodney couldn't be sure. He would have to run it through a voice stress analysis filter. But he thought Shepard was sounding... not anxious, exactly. Apprehensive. Next. Okay, Mountain. As you already know, the rendezvous was a no-go. Since I don't have much of a choice, I'm going to sit tight and await assistance. And... Listen, I don't know if you received my SOS. Hell, I don't know if you're receiving me now. But if you are, I'd appreciate a lift. It's going to get dark soon. Primary systems are out. I've got a smattering of secondaries. But that's not going to help me stay warm when it gets pretty damn cold in a couple of hours. Rodney winced. It could get cold at night this far north, even in the summer. It would be worse if Shepard was stuck on some mountain. The higher peaks retained their snow caps year-round. At least Rodney didn't have to skip ahead and spoil the ending to know Shepard had survived the night. The continuing hourly broadcasts were a pretty good indication he was still out there. 1800 hours mentioned a failed attempt to reroute power to boost signal strength. 19 reported that a source of fresh water had been located, and Rodney didn't think he imagined that Shepard's voice sounded smoother, less worn. 20 was a rambling critique of the various flavors of power bars. Rodney had to agree that milk chocolate brownie didn't taste nearly as good as the name suggested it should. After that, Shepard seemed withdrawn. His tone was flat as he described a plan to interrupt his sleep hourly to send messages that would probably never reach home. The messages that followed were perfunctory at best. Until 3 in the morning. The stars are really something out here. Shame I can't get above the trees, see the whole sky. I can't remember the last time I bothered to just lie back and look up. Kinda says a lot about this job, doesn't it? He laughed, a low, discordant sound. So yeah, that's my epiphany. Stars are pretty. No surprise I couldn't do better. I'm not very good at this kind of thing. And by this kind of thing, I mean introspection. The whole being alone and self-sufficient thing, I probably do too well. There was a crinkling noise that Rodney guessed was the thermal blanket, like the type usually found in emergency kits. I should have paid more attention during wilderness survival training. After satisfying basic physical needs, there was a step that involved self-assessment of mental state. And, I don't know, something about stress impairing judgment. I wonder if it's bad that I'm not stressed. Hell, it's like a vacation compared to the last time I went down. I'm not even being shot at. A little campfire, a bag of marshmallows. This would be downright cozy. This time, the rustling definitely sounded like a body shifting for comfort. Of course, if I'm still out here a few days from now, I'll deny having said any of that. Rodney was reaching for the key to advance to the next message when Shepard's voice startled him. What he'd taken for the end of the transmission had been just a long pause. I wish I had that copy of War and Peace with me. Suddenly, Rodney had heard enough. You bastard! This is your fault I'm in this predicament. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, my good friend McKay. Radek sighed. Why, I was just thinking I hadn't been called an idiot in nearly a week. Fine, you idiot. It's your fault I'm in this predicament. Rodney was on the couch playing Minesweeper on his laptop, because going anywhere near the console was a temptation he couldn't afford. You know, I'm never sure how to respond to that. Do I ask first what the predicament is, or request an explanation as to how you consider me responsible? Oh, right, pleasantries. How was your afternoon class? Rodney inquired viciously. He was rewarded with a few dark words and check. Officially, it went well. Unofficially, teaching undergrads makes me fear for the future of the human race. What is this predicament, Rodney? What predicament? He would have liked to continue the ruse, but he currently lacked a little thing called willpower. Also, Zelenka needed to be brought up to speed so that he could talk Rodney out of doing something suicidal. Ah, yes, that predicament. I received a signal on the telescope you suggested I install. A signal? There was a clatter that sounded like a drop pen. That's great! No, it isn't. Radek continued cautiously. So, I don't owe you that vodka? Not exactly. Rodney admitted. What kind of signal did you receive? Damn. He hit a landmine and cleared the board to start again. Rodney. A voice. I heard a voice speaking English. Here came that common sense that he needed so badly. The International Space Station? I checked. It was in orbit over Africa when I picked up the signal. A high-altitude aircraft, then, Radek countered. Sadly, Rodney had an answer for that, too. It was dish-cleaning day, and I had the thing pointed at the ground. Besides, the direction and strength suggest the source had been stationary for more than 24 hours. So you picked up someone on shortwave. So what? At 3 hertz? 3 hertz. A significant pause. Radek breathed. Jesus. Please, if I thought I was hearing messages from God, I would be on my way to check myself into the nearest mental hospital, not talking on the phone with you. Still, 3 hertz. What would be the benefit of broadcasting in such a frequency? The power requirements alone would be... I know. But you might be onto something there. Of course, I've been looking at this all wrong. Radek grumbled. I knew this would happen. You blame me for a problem I did not create, and then take all the credit when I help you solve it. Quiet. Rodney snapped his fingers. I'm thinking, why isn't it so useful to broadcast over land with these frequencies? Radek was familiar with the sounding board routine and supplied. The waves are very large and slow. But they were used to communicate to vessels underwater because... Water is an excellent conductor of sound waves. They would carry much further through water than through atmosphere. Exactly, atmosphere. Rodney dumped his computer on the couch and got up to pace. There isn't any particular benefit to use these frequencies on Earth, but in space, a large wavelength could be resistant to distortion from contaminants, like radiation. I mean, each wave would only need to retain enough of its shape to be significantly distinguishable from the preceding, and subsequent forms, the tolerable variance would be huge. Radek let out a thoughtful hum, which Rodney always took as an indication he'd been dazzled anew by Rodney's mental prowess. Even though I've never heard of such a thing, that leads us back to the space station, or maybe an orbiter. Actually, I think he's military. He's using some kind of ridiculous code name. Rodney omitted the part where Shepard needed help. For the sake of clarity, that was it. No. Roddick's accent became stronger, his syllables more clipped when he was warming up for a real argument. The trouble is what you will be in if you pursue this. The Americans threaten to press charges if you annoy them again. How could you forget that? He might not be American, Rodney lied. Rodney, I say this as a friend. Forget you heard anything. If you have any recordings, destroy them. I think that with the habit you have of, well, insulting people, you would not last long in prison. I only insult people who deserve it, Rodney sniffed. Besides, if I did expose some top-secret project, they wouldn't charge me with anything. They'd just toss me into one of those private, ultra-high-security detention centers. Rydek nearly growled. Do not even joke about it. If I disappear, there's a house key under the doormat. Send someone to feed my cat. You know, I really hate it when you are like this. Radek, trust me, I never make the same mistake twice. The military terrifies me, and I wouldn't dream of tangling up with them again unless I could guarantee my continued freedom by, oh, I don't know, digging up such a huge scandal that they couldn't look at me without Amnesty International crawling up their ass. I can't recall a single time you've asked me to trust you that I haven't lived to regret it. Sounded a lot like resignation, which meant Rodney had won. There's a first time for everything. You say that like a man who still holds hope of losing his virginity. Thanks, asshole. Rodney meant it. For everything. Anytime, shit for brains. Beaming, Rodney hung up the phone. It was conversations like these that really made him cherish Zelenka's friendship. All the most daring, dangerous scientific endeavors had Project in their name. Rodney settled down that evening with a whiteboard to Christian his. Project Radek will laugh if this lands me in jail, was an early contender, but in the end he decided Project BELF, Broadcasting Extremely Low Frequency. Unfortunately, the name would make Radek laugh if he ever heard it, but Rodney couldn't spare the brain power to come up with anything better. He was too busy calculating what the thing was going to do to his monthly power bill when he turned it on. It was the most seductive aspect of the project. Rodney didn't need to build anything. He was sitting on an extensive web of abandoned coaxial cable that was perfect for his needs. Sure, there was some coding to do, and some devices to convert from listeners to, well, senders, but on a whole, it was going to be the least amount of effort he'd ever expend to potentially incur the most dreadful consequences he could imagine. Worse, he was too busy congratulating himself for devising such a clever, efficient plan to feel any apprehension whatsoever. It was good to be back on the front lines, so to speak. The dish had been the last project to let him tinker with actual hardware. Too much of his research and development job had involved committing brilliant ideas to paper so that other people could tinker with them. It hadn't felt much like science. Shepard had kept him company as he worked through the night. Mostly, there was a soft crawl of static through the speakers, but the monitoring program was set to detect activity and amplify the output. 40 hours after Rodney had received his first signal, the man was still as punctual as ever. 0300 hours. All I can say is, there had better be at least 3 teams combing the woods for me. Three whole teams? Aren't you Mr. Important Pants? Roddy put down his voltage meter, long enough to gulp down the last cold, sludgy inch of liquid in his coffee cup. Well, I hope they don't find you. I mean, considering all the effort I'm devoting to this project, it would be downright inconsiderate of you to be rescued before it's finished. 0400 hour.
I'll be what I am. A solitary man. A solitary man.
Marginally less painful than listening to fingernails on a chalkboard, Rodney complimented the console. That is, your voice is fine, but your taste in music sucks. Get some sleep. You obviously need it. I'll be right behind you just as soon as I tighten up these calculations. The next day, Rodney coded until his eyes crossed. The day after that, he broke out the soldering gun and voided a dozen warranties. He spent Monday trying to remember how to put back together everything he'd taken apart on Sunday, and by Tuesday morning, he was fairly certain that when he flipped the main switch, his house wasn't going to burn down in a spectacular electrical fire. There was no fanfare when he powered up the transmitter for the first time. He just sort of ambled through his final checklists and punched it, and was satisfied when nothing happened. Make that. Almost nothing. He didn't know if the power meters had red lines, but he was putting out RPMs like it intended to answer the question for him. Of course, there was no way of knowing if it worked until he tested it. In the meantime, he'd take the lack of sparks and smoke and system alarms as a positive sign. It was still a little before the hour, and Rodney had the vague notion that it would be, well, rude to just start talking on another man's private channel. Besides, Shepard might be napping. So he fired off an email to Zelenka. Here goes nothing. Wish me luck. R. Then, right on schedule. I think I would literally kill for a cup of coffee. This was it. Rodney wet his lips, leaned close to the microphone, and broke into a cold sweat. Hell, he had to go now. That was his opening, and why hadn't he thought about what he was going to say? Hello? Oh, thank God! Shepard sounded like Rodney had just informed him that Santa Claus was real after all. Where the hell have you been? I missed rendezvous 5 days ago. Look, there was a malfunction. I went down. I sent an SOS that I guess no one heard, because my ass is still sitting in the middle of the woods waiting for rescue. There was an expectant pause. It worked. Shepard could hear him. Shepard could hear him and speak to him and wanted a reply. Shit, 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 shit. Sorry about that. We were busy. Who is this? Shepard demanded, suddenly formal without a trace of a drawl. Identify yourself. The transmission dropped into silence. Not static, just nothing. Rodney's jaw worked uselessly, still at a loss for words that might have forestalled the other man from severing the connection. Finally, he moaned, I should have written a script, and hunched over to bury his face in his arms.